For my edition this week of Farmer Friday, I've got a guy out of Wattcheer, Iowa, Corey Vandenhoevel. Corey, thanks for being with me today on KIIC.
Thank you, Pat. Very happy to be here and appreciate it.
Absolutely. So a little bit to the north and east of the KIIC listening area there. Tell us a little bit about what transpired in 23. How do you feel the harvest went? And let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so in last fall, going through the summer months, we felt like a drought was upon us. We felt like we were deprived a little bit of water, and no farmer likes that feeling, but we had that feeling for quite a while, especially in the late June time frame. And then over the 4th of July, the good Lord blessed us with a really, really nice rain, which perked up a lot of feelings of a potential crop and things like that. And then it kind of turned dry again. But once the combine started rolling, we were very, very blessed with the crop that we had. It was standing. It was in good condition. Yields were wonderful. Yeah, we had a really nice time frame to get it out as dry fall, which is always a blessing. And overall, we thought it was good.
I like that word you said, the field was standing, because it wasn't that long ago that you were affected by the derecho. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, late August, it was a Thursday night, I remember it very clearly, and we thought the storms were all headed north of us, and out of the blue, we had one of them that turned south at about the Montezuma area and headed right towards the south edge of Wattcheer, and it wasn't very wide, and it was it kind of generally affected maybe a 5 to 10 miles at the very most, but it was pretty long. It went through the south side of Sigourney, the south side of Wattcheer, on down into Packwood, and it was one of the worst storms as far as rain and wind that I can remember. Man, my wife and I were sitting there on the couch, and we had water coming in the north wall around the windows. And it kind of unique. It only lasted about 45 minutes, but the neighborhood said we had close to 6 inches of rain in 45 minutes, and the winds blew about 70 miles an hour for about 15. And a late August corn crop cannot stand that, and it was devastating.
And so, when you talk about that corn crop, I would say laying it flat was the understatement. It was so flat that harvest was very difficult. In fact, some people didn't even harvest. They just dissed it up. What was your guys' plan?
Well, our plan was, this happened on a Thursday. We fixed our grain setup on starting Friday morning. We went and helped a neighbor fix his grain setup Saturday morning. Saturday afternoon, we put the corn reel on and started picking on Monday morning. The corn was very wet, but it was still at that time fairly healthy, and we were able to at a very slow pace gather it in. But it was a very slow process. We put about 50% more hours on our combine that fall than what we normally do, and very frustrating, very trying. For those that are listening that have never harvested down corn, there isn't much worse.
No, that's not. You're right about that. And correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are 100% row crop, no livestock at all, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We do not raise any livestock. We're grain farmers, and we do some construction work on the side for our slower times, but we're strictly grain farmers.
All right, let's go ahead and switch gears just a tad and get away from that bad stuff from a few years back with that derecho and talk about this past fall again. Once the crop was out, do you utilize any fertilizer or do you wait for the springtime?
Yeah, so we're typically lean towards the fall side of a lot of our fertilizer application for a couple reasons. If we have a good, timely fall, we like to utilize our time, and sometimes in the spring, we don't always get the best of spring. So if we can, and weather permits, we put on most of our fertilizer in the fall. always using like nitrogen stabilizers and things like that to ensure it stays put. But we put a mixture of a dry fertilizer on, and we also use an anhydrous with a nitrogen stabilizer. It's kind of our nutrient plan for the upcoming season.
Good deal. And I'm sure soil testing is part of the plan as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. every so many years, we grid sample on 1 acre grids, which is a little bit smaller than the industry standard, but we just feel like we get a more information on 1 acre grids. It gives us a little bit smaller area to really identify problems in the field, and that's something that's been beneficial for us. And that's on a rotating year, not yearly. I think we do it every 4 years to 6 years. Just trying to keep on top of what the crop needs to be its healthiest and fullest for us.
That's a good point. Tell us a little bit about your soil texture. You got it's not sandy over there. I'm not sure about the clay content, but it is fairly decent soil with a thick A horizon. Talk about that.
Yeah, so our soil where we operate, you don't have to go very deep, and you can find sand towards the west of us a little bit, towards the rivers. If you go north and east, kind of towards the Thornburg-Keswick area, there's a little bit lesser clay content. If you come south of Watchier, there's a little bit more clay content. So it very variable is what you could probably say, and a lot of it's within 300 feet of each other.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of variance in soils, it seems like.
Talk a little bit about right now. What's going on in the shop? What are you working on there to try to get ready for spring?
It's Monday right now, and it's about 70 degrees today, and we're kind of getting itchy. You know, spring is upon us. The weather feels like today, and Iowa weather, it'll definitely change comes Wednesday, it sounds like. But we've been clearing a lot of brush and fence rows. I farm with my dad, my brother, and my nephew part-time, and my brother's been doing a lot of brush clearing, and we've got a little house remodel project that's going on, and we just finished up with wrestling, pretty big part of our family in this area. We coach the Sigourney wrestling team, and right now we're kind of just trying to decide what to do with the grain. When we started wrestling season, the corn had about $1 a bushel better price to it, and soybeans also, and we get through the wrestling season, and the markets have changed a lot in the last 4 months, so we're kind of, you know, always trying to sell crops at a good profit, and yeah, never a dull moment around here, for sure.
That's for sure. In agriculture, no doubt about it. Hey, talk a little bit about 2024 coming up. Are you staying the same in terms of your acreage, corn versus beans? Talk about that.
Yeah, so we're pretty much going to stay the same. We do raise a fair amount of corn on corn, but we're not going to change that, you know, due to anything. We're going to stay about the same acres as far as that goes. If you start changing a lot of ground to just say corn on corn, there's a lot of infrastructure that goes behind that too, to store the bushels or have an outlet to go with all those bushels. So we pretty much stay the same on a yearly basis, raise soybeans and corn, and then some corn on corn. And that really hasn't changed over the last several years. A few little different practices we use on our corn on corn. We use a little bit more tillage when we raise that crop. At the end of the day, it all needs fed, it all needs water, and so a lot of similarities, too.
That it does need water, for sure. Talk a little bit about what happens over there technology-wise. You talked about your grid spacing for soil samples at an acre a spot. What else have you kind of looked into technology-wise there at the Vandenhoevel place south of Watchier?
You know, as the years progress, we keep trying to get more technology involved as long as it makes sense to us. We kind of dove off into our first yield monitor, I think it was in 19, 96, I believe. That was the very first thing we dove off into. Got a lot of information from there, but at that point in time really had no idea how to use it. So then in around the mid 2003, 2004, 2005-ish, we started using planar shutoff, which is technology that if the field has already been planted in that area, it'll automatically shut off the row so you don't overplant. That was something that was huge for us, because I remember specifically thinking that we saved almost 70 bags of corn the first year doing that. And that was huge. Yeah, with all of our waterways and stuff, we were able to map out all of our waterways and the price of feed corn, if you take that times that number, that's a huge savings. And that was one that really, really stuck with us pretty quickly as to how technology can help you save money and make money also. Another really neat thing that we did about 4 or 5 years after that, I think it was 2010, is we put an RTK system on a tile plow. We'd had a tile plow for several years, but we went to the RTK. And what that is it's a really precise signal that will allow you to run grade with your tile. So it made it very simple to tile out real flat areas. And I remember years ago standing out in the field with my dad, and he was looking through, it looked like a rifle scope, and he was writing down numbers as I was walking around with a grade stick. And boy, the RTK system on a tile plow has made that a lot simpler. And
cool information, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's just, and it's really hard to keep up with the technology. They come out with stuff so fast that it's really hard to keep up. But just kind of pick and choose the things that we think make sense and move on with them, I guess.
I've been talking with Corey Vandenhoevel. He's a farmer with his dad and his brother south of Wattier, Iowa. Corey, thank you so much for being with me for my edition on Farmer Friday here on KIIC.
Appreciate it. Thank you.